a familiar name is set to become Joe Biden's Secretary of the Treasury. I'm David Brancaccio. President-elect Joe Biden is set to nominate Janet Yellen as Treasury Secretary. Yellen, a former chair of America's central bank, the Federal Reserve, would be the first woman to head Treasury. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer's in Washington. Nancy, what might be Biden's thinking with this choice?
Well, Yellen will bring a ton of experience to Treasury. She headed the White House Council of Economic Advisers in the Clinton administration. She's also researched and written about unemployment, and she spoke out recently about the suffering of the millions of Americans who are unemployed right now.
Given her track record, what is Yellen's instinct on how to get the U.S. economy out of this mess?
Well, she said recently that Congress needs to spend more to stimulate the economy and help small businesses and the unemployed. Edward Mills is a Washington policy analyst at Raymond James, which is a marketplace underwriter. He told me if Yellen is confirmed by the Senate, she and Fed Chair Jerome Powell will be what he calls a compelling dynamic duo.
And would be squarely focused on getting the economic recovery going in having a partnership, which the CARES Act outlines, between the Fed and Treasury that would be supercharged, and the market and the economy would react extremely well to that.
Now, Mills contrasts that with the spat we saw last week between Powell and the current Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, with Mnuchin refusing to extend most of the Fed's pandemic emergency lending programs. Mills says Yellen will work closely with Powell to get those programs going again, although she'll have less money to work with because Mnuchin demanded the Fed return some unused funds to Congress.
Nancy, thank you. Markets, the Dow future is up more than 1%, the NASDAQ future up 0.4% here. Creating a coronavirus vaccine that's safe and works was and is a massive challenge. Getting the resulting vaccines to people in all corners of the country and the world, some say, is an even bigger undertaking. Our ongoing coverage of the logistics and fairness issues of vaccine distribution is called Fast Track. Today, the states, which are waiting to get a better sense of which vaccines come first and under what conditions. But there's a big question of money for all of this. I spoke to Claire Hannon, executive director of the Association of Immunization Managers, a nonprofit that represents state health officials, about whether there's progress, at least on the planning.
Yeah, the states have been planning in collaboration with CDC and Operation Warp Speed for several months, actually. And it is getting down to those down and dirty details to make sure that on day one, we know exactly where to send the vaccine. We've mapped out its course, where it's going, who's going to be giving it, who's going to be getting it, who's going to be opening the box with the right gloves on, you know, who's going to be doing everything. We're mapping that all of that out right now in the home stretch.
Can states pay for all this? I mean, your organization, along with the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, I think, wrote to Congress last month asking for more than $8 billion to help pay for distribution. Is that money coming?
We have not received any word that Congress will be passing additional funding. We've heard once again, you know, representatives of the HHS saying that states don't need additional funding, and this is really worrisome. States need additional funding. Local health departments need additional funding to enroll providers, looking at enrolling tens of thousands of providers, looking at setting up hotlines. We have to train all of these providers on how to handle the vaccine, how to give it properly. There's so much that needs to be funded. It's really worrisome that Congress may not pass funding, or that there's information circulating saying that states don't need additional funding.
I mean, would it have the practical effect, if there isn't additional funding, of holding up distribution in some or all the states?
I don't think initially it would hold up distribution, and we're at that point where we would be ready to go. What I worry about is that further along down the road, when the vaccine supply becomes more robust, we don't have the public health capacity to really spread it across providers. We haven't been able to staff up to enroll all these providers, to check their license, to check their credentials. I would hate to see us push the campaign further out or have long lines at pharmacies or private physician offices because public health has not been funded.
Claire Hannon is executive director of the Association of Immunization Managers. That's a nonprofit that represents state health officials. Ms. Hannon, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We've been reporting on the plans of retailers to try to make shopping safer with the holidays upon us. Today, a look at differences of opinion in retail about just how festive the store should be. Here's Marketplace's Andy Euler.
Decorating a store for the holidays takes time and money. Bob Phibbs, who runs the consultancy The Retail Doctor, says businesses are generally of two minds about it this year.
Independents seem to be going stronger with nurturing the customer wonder and amazement.
Think Will Ferrell's decoration extravaganza in the movie Elf.
But Santa's coming. There's so much to do.
Other retailers are going cheap.
And saying, oh, people aren't going to be here anyway. What difference does it make?
Usually, it would make a lot of difference, says branding consultant Denise Leon. She says decorations help shoppers get in the holiday spirit. But during a pandemic, store owners are grappling with a new question.
Are we being responsible by attracting people to our locations?
She says in lieu of big displays, many retailers are diverting resources to giving customers a virtual holiday experience and also making sure their search functions and e-commerce platforms can handle the heavy load. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.